they've never sung that song together. Brother Charles just said, "Brother, do you think they can sing when he was on the cross?" I was on his mind. I said, "I don't know, I like it." Janice usually sings it, but she's not here. And they got over there and got us here. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Amen.
Thank God. Are you in Mark chapter number 9? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's bear with me. I know you're running off of my face. This ragweed bothered anybody else?
Amen.
That's about your feet there. Mark chapter number 9. I'm going to read a good bit of scripture tonight, so I want you to look at your Bible with me. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 14. The Bible said that when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out." Say the next phrase with me.
Amen.
"And they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tarred him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And all times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. When Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Thank God for that.
Amen.
And I believe that with all my heart, by the
way.
And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, I appreciate this man's honesty. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. In other words, he said, I believe you, but my faith could be a little stronger than what it is.
Amen.
And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. In this story we just read, now we know, and I'm not going to go into all this, but we don't believe that men have apostolic power today. That is a time in the Bible that was reserved for a special period. But Jesus had gave these men power to heal.
Amen.
And Jesus, earlier in the chapter, Jesus, Peter, James, and John goes on a little trip, if you know your Bible. And while they were gone, this man brings this baby or this child and asks them to cast this demon spirit out of this boy. And they couldn't do it. The Bible said, we asked the kid's father said, we asked your disciples to cast the devil out, and they could not do it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have things to do for the Lord, spiritual things that seem so much bigger than I am. There are times when I feel so very small and insignificant, and the job seems so much greater than I am.
Amen.
and so much greater than my ability. And of course, a lot of times our flesh just gets in the way.
Right.
Like it did with me on that wedding on Saturday. I was scared to death about the interpreter. They truly, no telling what he said. He can say anything he wants to say. Amen. But I was truly nervous about it. Sometimes I'll have to preach with certain individuals. I preached out in Montana with Brother Paul Chapel. I'm talking about one of the greatest preachers in America, Brother David Gibbs, and people like that. Man, I get tore out of frame because I know I'm nowhere near the caliber of men that those great men of God are, and I get nervous. Somebody asked me at the wedding on Saturday, I believe it was your best man. I believe we're standing here in the hall. He said, "Do you still get nervous when you preach?" I said, believe it or not, I still get nervous when I preach. Even when I'm here, even when I'm with our people on Sunday morning, I get nervous because the job is far greater than the man.
Amen.
And we need to understand that when we're doing something for God, we're crossing into the devil's playground. Amen? We're crawling over the fence. We're getting into his domain. And if you think the devil likes it when you set out to do something for God, you've got another thing coming. If you think he likes it that Brittany got the baby back and the other young lady got the baby back and Brandy and her husband are together and there are people saved here on Sunday, if you think the devil likes that, you got another thing coming.
Right, amen.
It's almost like a midget walking up to Hulk Hogan and shoving. Amen. I don't watch wrestling no more, so I don't know who's out there today. That's one from my time. Amen. It's just we're picking a fight with an enemy that is far superior to us.
Amen.
And I'm glad he's not superior to our Savior.
Amen.
I'm glad. And by the way, he's on our side.
Amen.
But sometimes things seem a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
Now listen to me carefully. Saturday morning, we are going to greet and hand the gospel to several thousand people. Our little church. Now, you need to understand something. That's a big deal. That's a big deal that we get that opportunity. You say, well, we're just handing out a gospel tract. It's not just that we're handing stuff out. It's what we're handing out. Every tract will contain portions of the Word of God. Tell somebody how to come to know Christ as their Savior. It's a big deal. And by the way, let me say, it's bigger than us. Everything we do, when the buses roll out of the parking lot, that's bigger than we are. You can't tell me God hadn't had his hand in that. 22 years, we've been running buses. 22 years. Never a serious accident.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Never a lawsuit or a threat.
Amen.
And we don't need to take that for granted.
Amen.
That's been God who's on our side, who's kept them buses safe week after week after week. Ain't no telling in 22 years, ain't no telling how many buses we wore out. They're scattered all over this country. We give them away and haul them away and fix them to haul a couple more away. Hey, man, thank God. I'm just trying to say it's bigger than we are.
Amen.
When you step into your Sunday school class and you're teaching 8 and 9 year old boys, that's bigger than you.
Amen.
If all you're doing is working with kids, although they're out, not in here, but if you were just working with the Pats in the Pee Wee Club on Wednesday night, that's bigger than we are.
Amen.
It's overwhelming when you think about it. We just do it so flippantly, and we ought to stop every now and then and say, hey, I'm doing something from God.
Amen.
I have partnered in business with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And his business is keeping men and women and boys and girls out of a place called hell. I am business partners with Jesus. How about that?
Yeah.
Is it okay to put it like that? Some of you look a little uncomfortable. We're workers together, the Bible says, with God.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Todd, on his job as a City of Atlanta policeman, he has a partner that rides in the car with him. He's got somebody that he's working. They're not working against each other. They're working together for the same cause and for the same purpose. I'm glad Christ is not working against me, and I certainly don't want to work against him. But I got news for you. There have been days that I have.
Sure.
There have been days that I tried to do it. There have been days that I tried to fix it.
Yep.
There have been days Mason, our grandson, Levi's little boy, we got a golf cart in the house, and he likes to drive. And he can drive, but he can't drive and work the pedals. He just can't do it. He ain't big enough. And he'll stand up in that thing and want to mash the gas, and it throws him backwards, and he falls. And I said, Mason, you can't do that. He says, I got this. I got this, Papa. I said, no, you ain't got this. You fixing to have got that pine tree right there. I stood over and let him drive. But in his little mind, I don't need your help. I can do this all by myself. Remember what Jesus said? Without me, ye can do. Anybody know the next word? Nothing. You know what that means? You got no Greek and all that to understand what it really means. It really means nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. I can't breathe without it. I can't breathe without it. Sometimes I'm afraid as Christians we get so cocky that we think we got this. And we don't got this. Best I can figure, it's got us. Amen. We walk into this place on Sunday morning. We've got more talent sitting in the pew that can play and sing. And hey, but they don't got this either. They don't got this either. I appreciate our folks that sing how serious they take it. Amen. It's bigger than we are. The disciples stepped out into a situation and they, so to speak, bit off more than they could chew. Don't you agree? They couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. I've been asked to do that one time, to pray with a possessed kid. You say, still, there's still people possessed today? You better know it. More than there ever has been. This world's full of demonic activity everywhere you look. The devil's real. He's just as real today as he was then.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Amen? Except today they got a pill for it. But he's real. And we need to understand he's real. And we're no match for him on our own. Absolutely, ain't no man ever got in a scrap with the devil and got up to brag about it. He'll kill you every single time. I want you to notice something tonight about our story. And I'll try to be quick because I want to spend some time in prayer tonight. I want you to notice they had a great dilemma. A great dilemma. Jesus has gone off on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And verse number 18. The guy says, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and repeat it with me again. And they could not. And they could not. What was their dilemma? They had a problem bigger than they were. How many of you can say amen to that? I faced stuff that's bigger than I am. Amen. They had, their dilemma was this. Somebody came to them with a need, and they couldn't meet that need. People call me all the time. I get messages on my machine. And I don't do it because I'm not a counselor. That's not my profession. I'm a pastor. And I'm your pastor. But I get paid calls from people I don't even know, ain't never heard of, wanting to know if I do premarital counseling, wanting to know if I do grief counseling and all that stuff. And I say, hey, man, not really. I'm not qualified. They had a job that was bigger than them. They had jobs they weren't qualified to do. And a lot of people out there are claiming to do some things in the name of the Lord that they ain't qualified to do.
Amen.
Amen. That they are just absolutely not qualified to do. They had a great dilemma. Sometimes, not just sometimes, but probably every day in our life, we face the same dilemma. We got to live in this world, but not the other. Since we got saved, he brought us out. Amen. He brought us out, but we still got to live in this world, and we're going to face things on a daily basis. Listen, when somebody comes to you on your job or at school or wherever and says, hey, would you pray for my mother who's sick? You know that's bigger than you are.
Right.
You're leaving the physical realm and entering into the spiritual realm. And on your own, you're nothing.
Right.
Amen? Amen. We're going to face these dilemmas every single day. But then in verse number 19, Jesus gives a great command. In verse number 19, Jesus, he looks at their dilemma. He hears the situation. You know what he says? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. There's the demand. Bring the problem to the Lord. What's our problem? We're facing several thousand lost people on Saturday. Probably not all of them lost, I'm sure. But I guarantee you somebody will receive a gospel tract who does not know Christ.
That's right. That's right.
And what we need to do is we need to die. That's a serious problem. One of our neighbors, somebody in our community, will die and go to hell if they don't trust Christ as their Savior. That problem's bigger than we are, so what do we need to do? Bring it to somebody who can handle it. Amen. Too often, we think, oh, this is not a big deal. It is a big deal. Everything we do for God is a big deal. You hear me? And we need to take these problems and we need to bring them to God. Here's what we like to do. We like to get advice from one another. What do you think I should do? People ask that all the time. But I'm facing this situation. What do you think I should do? Should I do this or should I do that? I tell you what you should do. You should pray. And say it again. I tell you what you should do. You should pray.
Amen.
You should get some spiritual direction. Listen, I'm your pastor and I don't mind giving you advice. I'll do that. But I'm going to give you biblical advice. I'm not going to advise you against what God would say. People kill me when they come to me and for advice they've already made their decision. They just want my approval. Amen. If you've already made up your mind to do something, don't come bother me. Go do it.
Amen.
I had a young couple come tell me one time and said, we want to get married. What do you think? I said, you're not ready. You're not ready. Do not do it. Oh, we already set the date and bought the ring. Well, what are you doing in here?
Amen, brother.
You want to commit suicide? Go ahead. They didn't stay married to you. But they already had their mind made. We need to get to the place, even in the little things, that we don't make up our mind in these situations till we bring that problem to Jesus.
Amen.
Brittany, it's kind of funny to me. Weird coincidence, I think, that you stood up for the first time in your life Sunday night and gave God glory for what He's doing in your life.
Amen.
And then just a couple days later, bring him to get your kids back. He's bigger than the judge.
Amen.
He's bigger than the Lord. Amen. We need to learn to bring our problems to the Lord. There was a great dilemma, but then there was a great demand. But then in verse number 20 and 22, let's look at it. Let's read them again. I want you to see a great desire. A great desire. By the way, before I even read this, let me say, you've got as much of Him as you want. You've got as much of Jesus as you want. You're as full of the Holy Spirit as you want to be. The Bible said they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tarried and fell on the ground, wallowing, foaming. He asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times he cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 24, straightway the father of the Lord cried out, or the father of the child cried out, and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. If you want God to move at work in your life, in your ministry, whatever area that may be, you've got to want Him to.
Amen.
He's a gentleman. He's not rude. He will not butt in where He's not wanted. Amen. People ask me, why is such and such church, why is it dead? Why is it so dead? They don't want it. They don't want it. It's that simple. If they wanted it, He would be there. They just want to have their little religion. Go through their little ceremony. Pat themselves on the head. Are we okay? If you've got a desire, He'll show up. Every Sunday morning, our ushers, before we come into this sanctuary, they come in my office and we gather around my table and they pray. They pray for their preacher. And every Sunday morning, I ask the Lord the same thing. Every Sunday, God, please, I need your help today. Lord, I desire your help. I desire your presence. I desire your power. Before we leave here on Saturday morning, y'all will gather up that gym. And y'all will pray before we leave. And we ought to pray, God, just pour your spirit out on every gospel tract. Touch everybody that'll preach or witness everything that's done. God, give us your spirit and your power. Touch Brother Oz and use him. God, we want your presence. And we want your help. Some of us are small, right?
Amen, brother.
It'd be a hard thing if we had to go hunt a church somewhere.
Amen, brother.
And it ain't me, I promise you. And it ain't the not heads I'm preaching to, I promise you. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace, and we know it.
Amen.
We ain't the hoity-toity crowd, by no means. But the Lord shows up here in a special
way.
Somebody called me on Monday and said, "Man, that sure was good Sunday morning. I got to see almost your whole sermon." I said, "You didn't go to church today?" He said, "Yeah, you just had started preaching when we got out." People talk about our services being long. It's not because I preach a long time. I do not preach that long. It was 12 o'clock Sunday before I ever got here. The service went on for an hour before I ever got in the pulpit. So why didn't go on for so long? People were praying. People were doing business with God.
Yes, sir.
People were testifying. The Holy Spirit was moving in his place. And I don't care whose religion it goes against. I'm not messing with that.
Amen.
No, sir. I will not do it. I'll not mess with that. Why? It's bigger than I am.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Amen. I've been in churches where that starts and the preacher shut it down.
Yeah.
Don't know what to do. This is good here on Sundays. We had Brother Josh's wife, Miss Alyssa, had one saved in her Sunday school class before we ever even got in here.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. Hey, we got to want him.
Yeah.
We got to want him. When's the last time you desired his presence?
Yes.
Lord, we need you.
Amen.
Lord, we need you. Man, this father had a great desire. That boy didn't get healed because of the disciples' power. That boy got healed because of that daddy's faith and that daddy's desire. Would you agree?
Yeah.
He didn't just say, "Hey, yeah, if you don't mind." The Bible said he cried out, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Lord knew him in business. And the Lord knows when we mean business and when we don't. Amen. Some of you want to, got to win. Amen. We need to pray, God, give us our want to back.
Amen.
Give us our desire back.
Amen.
Lord, don't help me. Help me not to get so cocky that I've been preaching long enough that I think I can do it without you.
Amen.
I need your help. I need your help Saturday. Lord, we need your help in that tent Saturday. You know, tell me how many people we may get the opportunity to pray with.
Right.
Show them how to be set.
Amen.
If it's one, it'll be worth it.
Yes,
right. If it's one, it'll be worth it. If one, this is hell. Hallelujah. It was worth every effort.
Amen.
It was a great dilemma. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They just simply couldn't do it. Man, when I first got saved, I'm crazy now, but I was really crazy then. I wanted it all. I wanted everything God had. I said, "God, if speaking in tongues is right, I want to do it. If healing's right, I want to do it." I even tried. I went to the funeral home. I did. Somebody in our church died. I wasn't there. Wasn't nobody in that room. I stuck my head over. I said, "In the name of Jesus, right." You know what happened? Absolutely nothing. Hey, but I believe this God's will. That woman got about that cash. Amen. I want it. Amen.
Amen.
I realize I could not. And neither can they. If they can, let's arrest them for mass murder. Because they can empty out every children's hospital.
Amen.
There'd be no excuse for a baby going through chemotherapy if they really had the power they said they got. Amen. It's a great dilemma. It's a great dilemma. Bring him to me. Bring him to me. Several instances. One of these days I may preach on bring it to me. Remember when the multitude was there and they didn't have any food? They said, there's a lad here. Philip said, hey, there's a lad here. He's got lunch, but what is it? It's amongst so many. Jesus said, bring it to me. Take that problem to him. And watch what he can do with it. There was a great desire. That man wanted his child. If that man was anything like I am, he would have given his life for his son.
That's right.
He would have given his own life for his son. If the doctor told Ashley, look, if such and such don't happen, you're going to die. The only way you can live is you've got to get all your daddy's blood. She'd have it in a second.
Amen. Amen.
Without fault, she'd have it in a second.
Right. That's right.
That daddy had a desire.
Amen.
Can you imagine watching your possessed child being thrown in the fire, in the water, foaming at the mouth like the wild
animal?
Jesus knew his heart. Because of his desire and his little bit of faith, he said, I believe, I help out my unbelief. So he didn't have a whole lot of faith, but he had some faith to believe his word. He believed he could heal it. And he got what he needed. It was a great desire. Let me give you this and I'll be done. Verse number 25 through 29 is a great deliverance. The Bible said when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. I love the language of this King James Bible. He rebuked the foul spirit. He scolded them. You remember Mark 7 verse 4? He rebuked the wind. Hey! Stop that. He looked at that spirit and said, hey, get out of that. And don't you come back. That's pretty cool stuff right there, amen. I believe it was just like that. He rebuked the foul spirit, said unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Why? I want to look lastly down in verse number 29. Verse 28, the disciples, once they got Jesus by himself, they said, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind. This kind. What kind? That kind that's bigger than you are.
Amen.
That kind that's more than you. That kind that you can't handle. And by the way, that's every kind.
Amen.
That's every kind. Every spiritual dilemma is bigger than you can handle. He said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by what? Say it with me. Prayer and fasting. Did you know almost every modern version of the Bible takes the word fasting out of the book? Just about every one of them takes that word fasting out of that person. I was reading some stuff today and one author said he didn't think the word belonged there. Well, you're needed.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's there because it belongs there.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Some modern versions take it out everywhere it shows up. We all believe in prayer, don't we? Every one of us, we believe in prayer. And Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. What is fasting? It's prayer on steroids.
Right.
It's taking a period of time to deny your body and your flesh of what it wants. To show God how serious you are about your need.
You're right.
We fasted. Our church has fasted for a month at a time, people taking days and fasting.
Amen.
We fasted for Brother Warren's daughter-in-law for a month. We fasted for a month for Sister Ashley Hoffman.
Right.
Had different people, some 4 to 5 people each day fasting.
Amen.
I believe it's a biblical principle.
Amen.
Yes.
I believe it's a great way to see big things done.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It wouldn't hurt. If you're planning on handing out tracts in that parade, it might not hurt fasting long. A fast ride. And spend some time bathing this thing in prayer.
Amen.
God, this is bigger than us.
Yes.
I know it may seem simple, just handing out a gospel tract. You would not believe how many people are saved from those gospel tracts.
Right.
You would not believe it. Every year when I go to the fellowship track meeting for their camp meeting and they read those letters that come in, every single day they get letters from people all over the world that was handed a gospel tract and picked up a gospel tract and got saved.
Amen.
One was a medical doctor sitting on the beach with a pistol fixing to blow his brains out. Had the hammer pulled back and a piece of trash blew up between his feet as he sat on the beach. You know what it looked like? A gospel tract. Woo! His wife had left him. He's losing his practice and he's fixed to blow his brains out. He picked up that gospel tract and pretended he got saved. Took that gospel tract and went to his wife who had left him and shared it with her, and she got saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Some of this stuff we won't know about when we get to heaven.
Right.
But it's big business.
Amen.
And we need to bathe it and pray.
Amen.
We need to pray. Pray that God would just anoint. God, pray that God would prepare the way as we go.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, over the years, this town has received us better and better and better in these past years. It's been a blessing. Now here's what we need to pray. We're going to come pray. We need to pray for the weather. There have been Gold Rush Parade Saturdays in the past where it was forecast 100% chance of rain. We pull up in this parking lot, the sky absolutely black. You remember that?
Yeah.
And we get in that gym and we start praying, God, you can let it roll at about 12 o'clock. So please give us a couple hours. Walk out of that gym, the sky be Mr. Blue.
Amen.
Amen. We need to pray for the weather. We need to pray for reception. Pray that people receive us well. Pray that this thing goes well in that tent with Brother Oz. He's going to be presenting the gospel all day long. It's a free magic show. People ain't going to pass that up. I think it's going to be a wonderful thing. Hey, we need to pray that they will receive the gospel. And they're either going to reject it or receive it. One of the two. So pray they receive it. Pray for our spirit. Pray God give us an excellent spirit on Saturday as we confront people. Pray that God give us restraint. Amen. People can make you mad. I'll never forget one night we used to go to street dance. I quit doing that. That's a waste of time. But we was at the street dance. Our youth choir was singing. And a boy walked up and spit on us. And I thought, little kid, you just don't even know who you just spit on. That guy knew my boy say. I was back when Thomas used to tell me all the time, he probably wouldn't tell us. He'd say, pray for me, I hate you. Please pray for me, I hate you. And boy, Thomas just stood there, smiling on his face. I thought, well, that was the power of God. That's what we do. Somebody tells you no thank you, no problem. Have a good day. You be nice. Amen. Somebody watch it up, hit you in the face with it. You be nice.
Amen.
Pray God give us an excellent spirit. And pray God give everybody this family safe. Safe. Wouldn't it be something that that city revival was talking about? Wouldn't that be something?
Amen.
I believe God can.
Yes.
I believe God will. Amen. But we got to trust Him. He says, hey, this kind, this spiritual war, this kind comes not out by prayer and fasting. Let's spend some time in prayer. Hey, if you've never fasted before, just miss a meal. Skip your lunch and work and spend some time sitting outside praying. Now, I promise you, if you don't have any time to fast, fasting is over. Good one. If you make up your mind to pray, you're going to do it tomorrow or Friday. Whatever day, you wake up, everything's going to be better. Go ahead. The devil will drive you crazy all day long. Everything will smell like bacon and look like Oreo cookies. But you let the Lord lead you into that. Don't just do it to be doing it. Amen. Let's stand our feet.